Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez of Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about positioning for growth, how a sector-based strategy leads to greater client success. I love this topic and I can't wait to talk about this. And our guest today is Dominic Ayres. Dominic is a senior client development manager at Evershed Sutherland. He is based in the UK, and Dominic is responsible for the development and growth of international client relationships and sector strategy for the industrial sector group across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Welcome to the show, Dominic.
Hi, Guy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, really keen to talk with you on this interesting topic. And I think it'd be really interesting to your readers and listeners today.
Excellent. Well, we're thrilled to have you and talk about sector-based strategy, and maybe we'll get into some account-based marketing because I checked out your LinkedIn profile. It looks like you have some knowledge around that. So maybe we'll talk about ABM as well. Before we get on to the topic, though, give us a little bit more background on yourself. How did you get started in the world of legal marketing?
Yeah, no, brilliant. Well, I imagine like many of us, when I did a marketing degree, the legal sector was probably one of the sectors that actually I didn't actually think about in my career. And it wasn't until I did a placement year as part of my degree at DLA Piper that actually I ended up really enjoying what I was doing. And when I graduated, I decided that I'd continue in this career. And 10 years later, I've only ever worked for law firms in terms of marketing and sector strategy. So I've been at a number of international firms, as well as Magic Circle firm, which is kind of your white shoe equivalent in the US, and also working at a smaller regional firm here in the UK. But in my current role, obviously in an international law firm like Evershed Sutherland, it's a very broad, international, fast-paced kind of, some of the biggest listed clients that we work with. So it's really, really interesting. And I think that's what kind of draws me into, where I am and the work that I'm involved in.
I love it. So let's talk a little bit about sector-based marketing strategy. What is it and how does it help a law firm to position itself for growth?
Sure. I mean, it's a really, a really key question. It's one that we've all been tackling with, I guess, over the last year. I think, its basics core, it's all around positioning, being relevant as a brand and kind of better connecting with your clients. And, why is this important? Competition within the, legal sector is really intensified. You have clients that are really looking for their external advisors to help them develop their business, as well as kind of streamlining the use of external advisors, so ultimately reducing spend. And it's really how you as a firm, by having a sector-based strategy, create that value for them and that kind of perception that your brand is one that they could turn to and it will help them in those times of need. And, the last year where the market was very busy, it's very crowded, a lot of law firms moved to social media and away from traditional models. There was a lot of firms trying to compete for that headspace with their clients. Mm-hmm. So having that sector-based strategy really helps you position. And I think, a lot of law firms will say, we have, a sector strategy. We have it on our website. We list 9 sectors. But unless you really embed it, invest in it, implement it with purpose across your firm, and there's some of the things I guess we'll get into in this conversation, then your clients won't fully get that value that I talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And here in the US, they call it industry strategy as opposed to sector. But it's the same thing. And I agree with you. I see a lot of firms that talk about having a sector or industry-based focus. But when you go on their website, it's very, very superficial. And there's not a lot of depth there at all. So, how does a firm identify the best sectors to focus on to really stimulate new growth? How do you do it at Evershed? And, how would a law firm that's just starting to figure that out, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, and I think all this sector-based strategy comes back to is focus. Firms have a limited amount of time and capital in the marketing team as well as the broader firm. If they carefully assess the right sectors where growth is and how they position for it, it really starts with a segmentation strategy. So you really mm-hmm. need to deep dive into your existing clients, look at the type of pitch opportunities or the work that is coming into the firm. And that will help you understand where your clients belong in terms of an industry sector or type of size business, or where they are geographically based around the world. And then from this, it will really help you start to identify where you have your strengths already and obviously what's working in terms of a marketing pipeline. And also there's other fundamental factors such as, assessing the competition, looking at the needs of your clients. So you might want to target a specific sector, but if it's really regulated like financial services or the energy sectors, the barriers into those markets are going to be a lot harder because your lawyers will need those specific industry knowledge or regulatory skill set. So you really need to kind of first start with your clients, really deep into their needs and where you are servicing those clients. And a lot of clients actually that have sector strategies have developed mm-hmm. those out of a client program. So if you have a list of your top clients, generally that's a place where a lot of firms will want to start because that's where they've already got their headline kind of client names that will help them develop more clients.
So that's where you get into the ABM strategy, right? So I would say a light ABM strategy could be at a high end, a sector strategy. But then when you get more focused on the key accounts, then it becomes more of an ABM strategy. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And, ABM is really funny. You look at my LinkedIn. I actually did an online course on this at the start of this year because it was mm-hmm. one thing that I've always done, but actually it's become an ever-growing in other sectors. So I was like, okay, I need to wrap my head around this. And similar to most firms, we have a list of our key clients, and ABM is very much built on moving away from spray and pray, really exactly. segmenting who is it you're trying to target. We have some really big clients where they have in-house legal counsel all around the world. So, just creating something that's relevant for one jurisdiction or one practice area doesn't work anymore. You really need to have various kind of touch points with your clients, and having a really solid ABM strategy really helps you segment it. And I guess one of the things that I've found over the last year that's really actionable and really helps you get there to that ABM strategy is the use of LinkedIn. So before, most firms will have a main LinkedIn account, and they'll just keep putting content on there. And they hope that the followers that receive that are kind of engaging with it, it's targeted. But actually, one of the things that we did at Eversheds over the last year is we actually developed a industrial specific where the target audience is general counsel of industrial businesses. So mm-hmm. whenever we push out content, we'll use paid kind of LinkedIn ads and that to target that specific segment. And you can drive it right down to the detail of their job title, where they're based around the world. So if you're trying to build your brand in new markets, so if it's like Germany or Asia or certain kind of jurisdictions, where you might not be the top of mind brand, then these are incredibly powerful ways to start making a head start on that and build that perception of your specialization.
I love it. And that's something that we're very focused on right now is helping our clients figure out, who are their best clients, their key customers, and then, how to develop a strategy to go after them. So ABM is very relevant right now. So going back to something you said earlier, which I think is key when it comes to either a sector-based strategy or an account-based strategy, which is research and really, conducting research, whether it's at the sector level or at the account level, to really understand your clients and your prospects in that sector or type of account and understand what they need, what their problems are, so that you can focus on developing solutions that sort of meet those needs. Do you find that law firms do enough of this from your perspective?
Yeah, I think it depends on the firms. I think a lot of it is a cultural, a cultural kind of problem for firms because it's one of the one industries in terms of marketing teams where you can't get close enough to the customer. Generally, mm-hmm. there is a lot around trust. Depending on the culture of your firm, I think the role of marketing has really proved itself. And in certain firms, you can get closer. So I actually have a client-facing account management responsibility, which is one of the most helpful things when you're developing strategies and campaigns and things that are going to communicate to clients, because you have that direct way to talk to the client and say, how will this hit? What do you think about this? Is this relevant? Would other clients be into that? So I think one of the things that we as marketeers, I always encourage, and it's harder when you're junior, but you should start doing, is really start to build connections with your clients. And there's different ways you can do that. I mean, a lot of law firms have, you know, counsel that go in-house. So make sure you build that connections with your alumni. I think also, you know, LinkedIn is a great tool. Early in my career, I always kind of used it to reach out to in-house counsel that I want to, you know, ideal customers that we want to work with. And then just say, I'm thinking of developing this. Would you come to this event? Or would you, you know, would you interact with this? And that way you can kind of move it from a kind of pilot phase to that wider appeal. And I think this is a, you know, that research is the best ideas come from when you're speaking to clients. So most of the kind of good ideas I've always found, or things that are kind of keeping clients up all night, is the things that they've told us. And then how you monetize and kind of commoditize that into a product or a campaign or something that has a broader appeal, you know, to others in the sector. That's the real magic. And that's where you as a firm start to get that return on investment. But also, you know, desk research. Early in my career, I worked, as I said, at a Magic Circle firm where a lot of my time was kind of scanning annual reports and kind of looking for that crystal ball gazing. You know, what were our clients going to do next? What things were important to their strategy? And then going back to your account-based, you know, kind of marketing is, okay, how does that translate into something we have available or where we've done that experience? And then how do we then specifically pinpoint that to them? So is it arming the client partner who can then go talk to that client on, oh, I've seen your client's going to be doing lots of joint ventures over the next year. We've just done this joint venture training with this client. I think this would be really relevant. Just want to just check with your client if this is something of use. And then we might polish that and then see whatever clients are looking to do that as part of their strategy. So I think, you know, that's where the research is really helpful. But it is hard if you can't understand what clients are doing.
Exactly.
I mean, there's really good resources that are targeted to general counsel that talk about life as a general counsel, what things they're going through. So I think if you read those things also, you can get in the client's head if you don't have that access to the client. So, you know, obviously build the relationships with the client, but if you can't do that, try to find other resources that will help fill in that gap. And if not, speak to your partners in your firm, you know, what things are they seeing? Where's the work coming from? So those are things, as you say, research is really important and it's always been ingrained in me as part of, you know, my career.
Yeah. I love it. I love that you do that and you get that. And, you know, I personally find that firms don't spend enough time, at least here in the US, don't spend enough time researching their clients, because it's not always about getting a new client. A lot of times it's just, how do you get more business from your existing clients, right? How do you grow your share of wallet within a client? How do you enhance the perception that the client might have about your firm? And as you say, you know, this type of strategy really allows a law firm to get much closer to your clients and really be viewed as strategic partners instead of just a vendor, if you will.
Hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's a core part of our strategy. And I encourage, you know, it depends on where your firm is at. If your firm has a strong client base, really tapping into it and really kind of looking at how you can create value across it, and it is what clients want. And, you know, my favorite pitches are the ones that don't actually go to a pitch. You know, when we're looking to repanel with firms or extend our terms, you know, with certain clients, if you've done a good job and generally that client is feeling the value, they won't need to seek out, you know, competition. And, you know, we've had some really good examples at the start of this year where their clients, with everything going on, have turned around to us and said, you really invested in us during the pandemic. You spent the time in understanding our business. You were very, you know, attentive. You kind of really got what I was trying to do. And if you do all those things right, and it really comes back to the client and that kind of value piece, then the opportunities are there for your firm. And, you know, new clients are fun. They're shiny. They're new things, and partners get really excited. But the cost of turning new clients takes a lot of time. You know, when you win some of these big panel appointments, they have to shake off the incumbents. And it takes quite a lot of time before you start being trusted with that work. So your existing clients where you've built the trust and they feel the investment is definitely a really strong and robust strategy. And those firms that do this well were the ones that fared the best last year when they weren't trying to chase new business where they focused on what their existing clients were going through. You know, they really invested. And we did like workshops with clients. There were some clients that we were talking to every day. You know, I'd have virtual beers with clients. We did all sorts, you know, just really focused on those clients and really, because we're on such a personal level, they're the ones that, you know, would then stick with you. And the Fender ones are the ones they turned around and said, we're struggling, we're bleeding at the moment, cash flow. We're going to need to extend our credit with you and, you know, we'll pay you in 360 days or 180 days. So I think, you know, if you build those trusted relationships, that's where it's kind of really invested. And I guess, you know, the thing that I found is if we move away from the money for a bit, things like diversity, inclusion and social kind of governance are the things that a lot of clients are caring most about at the moment. So those firms where you have those deep relationships, it moves away from into that area where you actually have shared values. You know, a lot of law firms are focused on the diversity agenda at the moment. And some of our key clients we partner with quite heavily on what they're doing, what their legal team are doing, where we can share know-how, because a lot of law firms have a lot of knowledge, you know, in terms of a market. It's a really interesting one for companies. So, you know, what are we doing to change the makeup of our firms, the teams that are staffing your matters? So I think if you build those trust and relationships, as you say, that's a really key part of your strategy.
I love it. You can't see me, but if you could, you would just see me nodding my head.
Well, I've seen on your LinkedIn you have two daughters like me, you know, I'm a big ambassador of this and comes across in conversations with clients.
I love it. So how do you go about, well, let me ask you, how many sector groups do you have at Eversheds? And for a firm that's just thinking about this strategy, you know, how do you go about, you know, creating these sector group teams? What is the makeup? What, you know, how do you get started with all of this?
So Eversheds Sutherland have priority sectors. So we have, I'm just going to count them now here, so Dr. Brassoff, we have consumer, energy, financial services, government infrastructure, health and life sciences, TMT, and the industrial sector, which I mentioned. There will be specific niche areas that are, you know, like education and certain other sectors that we do have strong expertise in. But those primary sectors are where, as you say, the governance, the strategy, the focus, and the internal marketing BD teams are focused around. And, you know, the key to kind of developing strategies from something on your website, as you say, is user firm needs to start building the internal infrastructure. So, you know, key to any strategy is buy-in. So your exec or your senior partners need to continue to reinforce the strategy. They need to talk about it. They need to really drive this down from the top. As well as that, you know, most successful sectors really have a strong sector leader. So this is someone like a partner who is not just internally recognized for an expert in their field, but also like, you know, a key stakeholder to the business, but also externally by clients. And this person will be really visible, and that credibility really helps their role because obviously they have to motivate a number of partners and individuals across the firm. They really need to buy into that strategy. So if you set these kind of key parts of it, then it becomes really essential, as well as, you know, marketing and business development. At Eversheds, we have dedicated senior managers, marketing managers, client managers for each of these sectors. So we have the bench strength to really actually focus our time. So, you know, my time is spending listening, as well as Good to Be Social aerospace podcasts, you know, reading the annual report of one of our clients in the aerospace sector. I can invest that time because that's where my clients and my needs are. And it's the same with the partners that are doing work in the sector. If they continue to do the work, they take more interest in what's happening, what's the macro geopolitical changes. So if you start to develop these understanding of client needs, they become really essential. But that infrastructure needs to be there.
So how many people per team do you have, approximately?
I'd say three per sector.
Great.
We do also, I'm talking about EMEA here. So in the US, we also have a few focused on specific sectors.
So you have a marketing person, a partner, and a biz dev person? client development?
Yeah, I mean, on the partner count, just for industrials, there's over 100 partners at least engaged.
But there's
in the
one
in
that
terms
leads
of that,
it. Right.
So we have a lead for EMEA. We have two co-heads for the US. I guess one thing also that's really important for those is the industrial sector, just for example, isn't a sector.
Right.
We actually have our go-to market strategy and our sector set up into subsectors. So we have an aerospace, automotive, chemical sector. And each of those have a leader in its field. And this is really important because, you know, in some firms, they would be a sector in its own right. Obviously, we're a huge firm, so we can actually segment it at that level. But I think, you know, that's important is you'll see sometimes people use like TMT, energy. There's mm-hmm. those specific areas of that wider group. So as you say, you want to have people that staff those and lead the strategy of those.
And what kind of technology do you use to support your work? How do you keep track of, you know, the campaigns you're doing, the engagement that you're getting across? Like, what kind of technology are you using to support all this?
Sure. So it's a mixture of things. So I think, you know, if we just focus on the internal, as I just mentioned, we have a number of partners. And key to any sector thriving is having that engagement. So mm-hmm. it's less about technology, but more around the kind of constant content and kind of platforms of how you communicate. So we all have like intranets internally. We have high Q sites set up for the sector. So people have a constant flood of that content and things to help them. We obviously subscribe to things like Reuters and that have intelligence around the sector. So what's happening in the chemical sector. So those things help understand what's happening, understanding the client, helping the partners have that understanding and that ammo to go to their clients and talk about these issues. In terms of external, as I mentioned, I'm a huge fan of LinkedIn and how it's more than just an online CV, as some people will see and lawyers will buy into. But most of your clients are interacting with content. Most of them use LinkedIn to seek out their own kind of career progression, but also intelligence and what's happening and being able to use it as a powerful way to, as I said before, segment your clients and get closer to them. Is really important. We have a lot of clients all around the world. And the challenge before was, you know, traditional marketing was an event in London, or it was a publication focused on a specific jurisdiction, or a spray and pray, as we go back to. But actually now things like LinkedIn and kind of other digital enabled platforms, you're able to get closer to the clients. So things like webinars, before they became fashionable, we started doing quite a lot of that because we have clients in Switzerland and Finland and the US and Asia, and they're not going to travel on a plane to a law firm conference in the nicest way. So I think, you know, thinking about how you can get closer to the client, and like I said, these are not whizzy kind of platforms I've talked about. You know, on my machine, I have Zoom, MS Teams. We've got all the online virtual things, but you know, they're quite simple ways to connect with clients.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, although I could go on forever. So that means we'll have to have you back on the show sometime in the future. But before I let you go, could you provide one piece of advice, a takeaway, something to our audience as they start to understand sector-based marketing strategy?
Sure. I guess if there's one thing to kind of sum up what we talked about, it's focus. You know, it's focusing your strategy on where your clients currently sit and think of them in terms of what industry, what they do, the size of their business. And this will help you when you're creating anything that's marketing or client-facing, because having that understanding of that client will allow you then to create something of value. And that's what it all comes back to, is value. And then it's more important than ever as clients streamline their panels, and clients, you know, are asking their external advisors to really hit hard on this.
Fantastic. I love it. All right, Dominic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great to have you. For our audience, thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can sign up for the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. You can actually check out some of our past episodes as well. Dominic, thank you again. It's been great to have you. And we'll put on your LinkedIn handle on the show notes. So if people want to get in touch with you, they can do that. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Guy. It's been really, really good to chat. And as you say, I'm very welcome to talk long on this topic in the future.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.